Yeah. Okay, Rabosai, let's just pause for a second. This is just the chart that was on the board yesterday, supplemented a little. I threw some of the things that I skipped in the beginning, and so I couldn't resist my Yitzhara, and carried through to the end of Sif Vav. If you just look for a second, I'm not going to put it back on the board. We have the four Hezberim, and the fifth one, which is the Kabbalah Kacholto under all circumstances. The issue of Psak, which is at the bottom right, the Mechaber clearly writes like the fourth way, Ivy Tort Liflot Lobali, although we see from Sivvav, since he's Mako Lagamri in the end, we notice that proves that he's also willing to be summoned for the Evid on either Mishra Sharik or a more general Kabbalah Kachpolto. That we remember from yesterday. we didn't get to it, but I will point it out today. That the Ramah, it's a little unclear what he holds. The Taz assumed that we saw yesterday that he really held like the second derech. Unlike the Mechaber, the Shach assumes he basically agrees with the Mechaber, but we'll see the we'll see the rise for that today. The second column, why are Dugim different? We pointed out, according to the fifth shot, you have to figure out why Dugim are different, why you don't say this Kabbalah Kapolto, and in the end, Lachor, you have to say that just Dugim are different, maybe like the Rav or something, or like the Rashbam, that because they're out of the Parsha, we just don't apply the general rules. But since that fifth Deya is not actually found on the Sugi of Dugim, he doesn't explicitly deal with Dugim, that's just thrown in. The Rashba quotes at one point, there's this great Mekel Deya later on in Sivvav. Okay, the Nafkaminos, the first Nafkamina Guma we mentioned, the second Nafkamina we mentioned. The next three columns, I just threw in some fairly obvious nafkaminas from the Prima Gadim. So I just wanted to, now we have everything the Prima Gadim said on this chart. So, the third, fourth, and fifth nafkaminas are pretty obvious ones from the Prima Gadim. Hopefully this should be, really should be pretty easy to follow. The third nafkamina is, if you put the first chaticha down, waited 18 minutes, and then put the second chaticha. So that's sort of clear, according to all the pshatim, that should be mutter. If you're salting many chatichas, but you put the first one at 1 o'clock and the second one at 1:19. So basically, according to everyone that's mutter, in times of Mishra Sharik, or the bottom one is still totally seer, or general Kabbalah Kapolto, except Rimi Orleans holds it's only while the road of being Polidam is still open, and here it already closed. That's also a pretty clear Nafkamina. The next Nafkamina is just sort of the converse case, is you kept putting them within 18 minutes of each other, .. but you had so many chatichas, again, I'm not sure exactly how common this is, that the next one gets put on, tomorrow. So after this has already given out all the seer, so then obviously according to the Talmud would be okay. According to the Rimi Orleans would be okay because you kept your ritzy foot. according to the Mitra, this natal day of Kabbalah Kapolto would be okay. But according to the second and fourth deos, which seems to be the most mainstream, since the heter is only based on being polite seer, either the second day, since it's polite seer, it's polite the dam from the top one, or the fourth day, since it's polite seer, can't absorb, that heter wouldn't apply. And the last nafkamina is a little bit of a clever nafkamina. That's the fifth one. Should have numbered that. You can number your nafkaminas if you wish. Is that what if you put one down at 1 o'clock, let's say, and and then you put the other one down at 1:10, but meanwhile you wash the first one off. So you wash the first one off in the middle, and then put the second one down, which would be a weird thing to do. But the nafkamina here would be obvious. According to the Dam, it doesn't matter. The Dam is Mishrak Sharik, and the Torah should according to the Dam, would the Dam be Mishrak Sharik if the Dam is involved in the assault? I'm not sure. Let's say the Dam would be Mishrak Sharik, according to the. According to the second and third deos, as long as you resalt this one, it'll be pulling its dam and seer and get rid of whatever it absorbed. According to the fifth day, Kabbalah Kapolto, but according to the fourth day, this would be usher. The fourth day says the only heter is that it never absorbed in the first place. But if you put this down while this was washed, it absorbed in the first place because it wasn't pulling at that time. Even if you resalt it, it's too late. The Then we have the nafkamina from Sif Hei, which we already learned yesterday. And then the next three columns are just the machaber Sif Vav, which is the summary of what was on the board yesterday. Let's just chazer for a second. These are one second. I'm just going to put letters on all the columns, starting from A, and C would be the first nafkamina. D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M. Okay? Or you could use Hebrew. What? For you, yes. The I, J, and K are where we left off yesterday. We saw the mechaber in Sif Vav, right? The Yesh Ostrom, the first day, was that you can't put either never salted meat or previously salted meat, or previously salted meat with the meat that is salting at the time, because it would become treif. L'chor that day holds like number four. That's we have the aleph number four and his usher, because. Since right now you're putting meat that's not doesn't have salt, right now it's not being poleid anything, so it can be poleo. So there's no heter according to the fourth day, and that is the Yeshomer. Again, the Yeshomer says the only heter of salting meat together is that it will never be poleo because it's busy being poleid. But over here, if you put unsalted meat down, it doesn't matter if it was never salted or was previously salted. If the meat's not being poleid now, it'll be poleo now, and you're stuck. The second day in the Machaber says that Yesh Matiril Yemelich and Lechenu Acharkach is Yachle Kol Dam Shebala. The way we interpret the second day, the second day says, if the meat has not been salted yet, it's fine because when you salt it, it'll lose all its dam. But if it has been salted already, then it's too late. Then you're in trouble. That would fit. Chapter 2 and 3 would fit the second day. They would say, look, if the meat has never been salted yet, then it's mutter because when it gives out its own dam, it will give out the dam it absorbed. From elsewhere. But if the meat has been salted already, and its story is finished, it has been salted, it's totally finished with salting, then it has nothing more to be polite. If it has nothing more to be polite, then it can't get rid of the dam that it absorbed now. That would be the second day. The third day is the most makil. Says that it's all mutter. What does it mean, it's all mutter? That was a machlokes. The Gra said it's all mutter. Whenever meat falls into malicha, it's all mutter under all circumstances. It's not mishra shark, it never absorbed. But according to the Shach, the third day, it says, no, it's all mutter when you resalt it, because it's a general kabbalah kachpolta. Okay, that we already discussed yesterday. We did the mechaber. The one ha'ara that I wanted to add to the mechaber was the Shach summarizing the Berhete, so Katan Tes Zayin. This is a bit controversial. The Taz quotes a lot close to Shonim about it, but when do we say it can't be Polei Tzir anymore? So everyone knows, when is it stop being Polei Tzir? After? 12 or 24 hours. The Shach and Mechadish, there's another case when it stops being Polei Tzir, which is if it already has been Polei all the Dam, that's a little star at the bottom, and you wash it. If it's still after 9 minutes and you wash it, it still has more dam. It's going to be pulling more. But if it's sat for an hour and then you wash it, then it's not going to be pulled. Then it won't be pulling anymore. So basically, once it got rid of all, once it was pulled all its dam, now it's in the tzir stage and you wash it, which wash off the salt and stop the process. We're choshesh that maybe it's done with its plata, and it will not be able to be pulling anymore. That's a machlokes Rishonim. The Taz in Sukkot and something. Quotes a machlokas Rishonim about this. It's a cut into Zion, but the Shach in Sifkatan Chavav is machmir that if it's finished being polied, it's dam, it's in the middle of the tzir, and you wash it, that's as if it finished being polied the tzir. Okay, now we're ready to go to, we'll start again from the Rambam. And I think the rest should be fairly pashut. Yes? No, not at all. That's what makes this actually a little more complicated than I could express, and that's a little in the bottom right box. We see the Mechaber holds four, but he's also willing to rely on 1 and 5. And according to the Shach, the Ramah seems to hold both 4 and 2. So there are really almost an infinite number of combinations, but for the sake of simplicity, you know, we put it this way.
Not just with the Mechaber, also with the Yishonim itself. I mean, the Rishon says that it's Mishra Shari, might
Correct, he might. Right. He might. And a Kalani. Obviously any post can hold more than one are correct, would assume that the Rishonim held more than one are correct too. Well, they wouldn't want to more make of any Rishon. Correct. It could be much more complicated, but I'm not sure that would help us right now. Okay, let's start again from the Rambam. Page Kufkaf in the fancy edition. Afil b'di'evet no'agin la'asrum nafal basar shekfar pala kol dama v'tziro eitzal basar shlo shah da'in shir malicha. We ask her even b'di'evet if meat that already was polled all its dam and seer, which remember, the shachas makar means either it spent so much time it lost all its seer, or it was polled its dam, and then you washed it and cut off the seer, falls and touches meat still in the middle of being polled dam. We are machmir because we don't rely on dam mishrik sharek, and we don't rely on the general kabbalah kapolto. See, as long as it's still being bullied seer, we can rely on that. But after it's being bullied seer, finished being fully seer, we don't rely on anything. The yeshom shekome eslach shenenach bullied seer. And some people say it takes 24 hours to be bullied seer. The imnaga tots manzel lebasar shenimlach velo hudach. The imnaga tots manzel lebasar shenimlach velo shah dain. Sorry, shir malicha eno nesar. As it says, within 12 hours you shouldn't be macher for sure. If it's polei tzir, then you're okay. Between 12 and 24 hours, you should be macher. If it's a hefsim ruby, if we make it after 24 hours, totally aser. And one last case, the koshkin and lonim lachlal. If it was never salted yet, then for sure you can be makel, because when you salt it, everything will come out. Afilom nafal tzir mamish. So he's saying, when it's polite its own dam, it'll be polite what it absorbed from elsewhere. Okay, that's the Ramah. Agav, I want to just point out to you, the Shas of Katan Lamed Beis, at the end says, came to polite tzir, eino boleya. There we see he argues on the Taz, the Taz we saw in Sifkatan, the Taz was in Sifkatan Beis, I think. Aleph said Ramah held like the second shot in Tosfos, that as long as being polate tzir, it will be polate the dam. The Shach we see here holds like the fourth shot. That as long as being polei tzir will never absorb dam in the first place. So that's machlokas shach and taz. Again, the mechaber in Sefalov says like the fourth pshat. The taz thinks the Rama holds like the second pshat. The shach thinks the Rama also holds like the fourth pshat. That's in the bottom right box. Now, the Rama continues and discusses a slightly different case that no one's really dealt with yet. The afilo nimlach habasar v'lo shaha adayin shir malicha v'nafal litzir. Here's a slightly different case. Not that it fell into all the other meat that was being salted, but it fell into a pool of tzir. If it fell into a pool of tzir, yesh lahatir. If the meat is still in its first 18 minutes and it falls into a pool of tzir, you can be makel, lo nechvash tochid yom shalom. If it wasn't 24 hours, 24 hours would be kavush. But if it falls into tzir, you can be makel, and shah, shir malicha v'nafal tzir. But if it already sat for 18 minutes, and then it fell into tzir during the next 12 hours, yesh osr nosof pishol kol hazman plate tzir odayin. Some people say, even though it's still being polite the tzir, it's osr. When we come back, we'll start to have to go to lishahatr gambazer kol hazman plate tzir odayin yotok shtey mesrei shows. Okay, so what the Ramah is saying here is that if it... Let's just put this Ramah on the board. Did it fall into basar shepolidam, meaning meat that's being salted within the first 18 minutes, or it fell into sir? And what kind of meat is it?
Is it not yet salted? Or is it salted and it's still emitting dam? Or is it finished the platas dam but within 12 hours? Or is it between 12 and 24 hours? So what's the Ramah trying to say here? That if it fell into Basar, that's still in the middle of Malicha, right? This is in the Lashon of Ramah, Toch Shir Malicha. It fell into a pile of Basar that's still in the Shir of Malicha. Then if it's not yet salted, that's for sure Mutter. If it is still in its salting stage and still emitting dam, that's for sure mutter. If it's in its salting stage and still, or sorry, and if it's still emitting tzir, that's also mutter. As long as it's emitting tzir, either it won't be volay or it'll be volay and then it'll be polay, but this is only we're making for hefzid meruba, because we say, who says the tzir lasts 24 hours? Maybe it only lasts 12. What about this more machmir case that Ramah discusses? What if it falls into tzir? That's a little more machmir. Why is tzir a little more machmir? Well, one reason is because you can't be tzir for sort of mishra shavar if it falls into tzir. But also just because maybe falling into a pool of tzir is going to affect it a little more. We'll see that in a moment. So what did Ramah say? If it falls into tzir, this way is mutter. And this is also mutter. And this is only mutter for hefzid meruba. In this case, is also, that's what he said. Since it's toch shir malicha, it's mutter, but if it's within 12 hours, it's only mutter for hefzid meruba. I want to point out an interesting principle. I wonder if anyone says it explicitly here. One second. Yeah, the Dagom Ervava points this out, that why don't we say that it's mutter for hefzid meruba? Because for hefzid meruba, we can assume as long as it's being polite, it's tzir, even if it fell into a pool, it's okay. And for hefzid meruba, we can assume it's polite tzir for 24 hours. So the Dungan Ervav brings up an important principle here, that he says, the shnei kulas hefzid meruba lo maklinan. We're not making two kulas for one hefzid meruba. So even though, really, mutter for hefzid meruba, we assume within 24 hours it's still emitting tzir. And really, perhaps we assume as long as it's emitting tzir, it won't be boleya, even in a pool of tzir. But we can't be making two kulas, perhaps in meruba. It's an important rule of psah. See, in one place yourself in earth, perhaps in meruba we can be makel. Another case, perhaps in meruba we can be makel, means you could choose either kula. But you can't do both kulas simultaneously for hefz and meruba. Lechora, the logic behind this, Lechora, the logic behind this, is the columns, the last two columns, meaning L and M, the rightmost columns on the chart I give out, is that let's take the first case, this case. Why is this case mutter? Because Lechora, everyone would agree it's mutter. Certainly, Shatan 2 through 5 would agree it's mutter, right? As long as it's emitting its own seer, it can emit the blood it absorbs. But, oh, when I say by tzir here, I don't mean grazing. I mean brine is done. The tzir, I don't mean it fell to grave. It fell to grave. Who cares as long as it fell to kosher grave? I mean it fell into, like, the liquid down pooled up. In this case, before everyone should agree it's mutter. It's still emitting its own dam, so Rimer leaves would say it can still emit the dam and absorb. It's still emitting its own seer, so the second day in Tos would say it can emit the dam and absorb. If it's still emitting its own seer, the fourth day in Tos would say it's not bole at all. The bolak at Holta would certainly say it's mutter. And even Rimer Tam, you can't apply dam to a shark, it's in a pool of seer, but even he might admit that within the first 18 minutes, it can still get rid of any dam that absorbs from the chutz. So this is pretty obvious. What about this case? That's the last, the leftmost column on the sheet. This case, I think a lot of people would answer. If it falls in
after 2 hours to a pool of tzir. Rabbeinu Tama definitely aser. He says only mutter to have many pieces of meat together because of mishra sharuk. If it's a pool of tzir, it's not mishra sharuk. The Rimir leans would also aser. He would say it's only mutter to have it there because the nikveh plinktas dam had never closed up. Over here, the nikveh plinktas dam closed up. So the only people who would be matra are the people who always say kabbalah kach polto, or who say as long as it's emitting tzir, it's okay. 2, 4, and 5. The shatim 1 and 3 would aser. So that's pash, just why the Ramah says you only make a lehafs and ruba. Although one could make it more complicated. Let's just add one line to the Ramah. And then we'll be finished the basically everything difficult for today. Let's continue the Ramah. When we call Malkum Tzorch Hepsid Gadol Yishahater Gam Bezek Kol Zman Plikas Tzir Da'im Tzorch Shemes Or Shos Al Yidei She Yachzor V'Yidichenu V'Yachzor V'Yim L'Chenu. How should you be Meiko? Chenu Nachol Tzir Kodem Shishar Shur Malicha Yadichenu V'Yachzor V'Yim L'Chenu. How should it be Mutter in this case? You should rinse it and re-salt it. Yachzor V'Yidichenu V'Yim L'Chenu. That's the Shachar of Kodem Mem Beis says you don't need to soak it again. You just need to rinse it. If you remember the Chakir about Hadaf, you don't need to soak it again. It's already soft. You just need to rinse it. Why do you need to rinse it? Because if it fell into a pool of tzir, then it's got like a lot of dam on the side. So you want to rinse that off, and then of course once you rinse it, you have to re-salt it to continue the salting process. Agav, I'll point out something a little complicated. The bottom right box from the that there's a that why do you have to resalt it in this case? Why not just say since it was pulate sear it never absorbed dam in the first place? It never absorbed in the first place. So that's why this is the mucker of the Taz, who says the Ramah holds like number two, the Ramah holds it is absorbed, it'll just come back out, so you have to resalt it. The Shach, who says the Ramah agrees with Machaber like the fourth Shach, that it never absorbed down in the first place, has to be Nidchak and say, when it's just with other pieces of meat, it won't absorb it, but in a pool of tear, it will absorb it, it'll just come out again. So that's where the Shach is a more complicated view of the Ramah. The Taz says, we see from here, from the need to resalt. Why do you need to resalt? Just say it never absorbed. So we see from here that the Ramah doesn't hold like there are four. That it never absorbs. You know, like there are two that absorbs and re-emits. The Shach says, no, it depends. If it's not in a pool of tzir, he holds like there are four, it'll never absorb. If it's in a pool of tzir, then he holds it'll absorb, but then it'll re-emit it. The Ramah ends here. Miu and Molcha below Adach Lachshanaf al tzir shari b'di'eved. However, if you don't rinse it off, then it's okay. It's just really a chumrah l'chachila to rinse it off and falls into tzir. If you don't rinse it off, it's okay. Why if you don't rinse it off, it's okay? Because the rinsing off is only necessary for, like, real dam be'en. Here, it's dam in salt. And the dam in salt will usually won't get reabsorbed through salting. After all, every time you salt meat, dam comes out of the salt and doesn't go back in. So we're here, since it's just tzir, you should do a new hadachah rishonah when it fell into a pool of tzir. But the yevin, it's okay, because after all, it was just a pool of tzir, it wasn't dam be'en. Okay, that is about it for the main parts of this simon. Let's just chazer on this.
Sorry, why do you have to wash it?
So why do you have to rinse it? Because it has tzir shel dam on the surface from the falling in, right? It fell into a pool of tzir. Now it has dam on its surface, so you should rinse that off. And once you rinse it, you have to resalt it. Why okay if you didn't?
Is this holding like that ratio net? It's going to do with the outside surface, because the stam is already soft.
Exactly. Right, and that's why I say rinse and not soak, because it's already soft. But we're mocking for both shots. Originally, you have to soak it. And now, you still have to rinse it. But with the evidence, it's okay if you didn't rinse it, because it's not like actual blood on the outside. It's just bloody salt, bloody brine on the outside. And bloody brine will not get absorbed back in.
So, why
so not min dam?
Not dam be'en. Be'en. You can't read Chinese? Okay. I want to just point out one thing that doesn't make sense here. And then let's ask if there's any questions now.
Take a second to try to assimilate this.
And then you go back and you look at this chart and I'll tell them if you have any questions. Okay, there's only one line in the Ramah we read that doesn't make any sense based on what we learned already. What line in the Ramah we read today doesn't make any sense? We didn't actually read so much new Ramah, did we? So which line doesn't make any sense based on what we learned both in Siman Kof Hei and 2 days ago, I think? Well, the Ramah says if it's kavush in the tzir, that's of course a big problem. Why is kavush in the tzir a big problem? Because kavush is kid. Once you cook meat with the dam, forget it. What's the problem? The Ramah says, what's kavush? What does the Ramah say kavush is? What? 24 hours. Right, remember, kavush is generally 24 hours. What is the yom shalom? What's the problem? The problem is, in tzir, kavush is.
Even Kadeshi Yalalo Ishviartiyah,
right? How long takes to boil it? Just a few minutes. So this is a very big problem there. I'm on. No one can figure out what's going on here. It's actually very difficult. Whatever answer you give, then you have to change everything else in the whole Seif to match that, which we're not going to do now. But the Gra summarizes the last day of the Shach, which is set by the Kaddish and others in Lamed Daled. He says what Gra in Lamed Daled says, Avagav Divit Seir Hashir Kadeshi Yartiyah, Koshin Avim Simon Kofay Seif Aleph, Kandal Korchlech Mayu Kleeman Nukov.
He says, you know what? This whole line that falling into tzir can't mean a real pool of tzir, because then it would be then it would be kavush after just 10 minutes
or 5 minutes. He says, really, what the Ramah means by the case of tzir here is like tzir in a kli menukav.
There is no tzir in a kli menukav; it just drains out right away.
I guess he means that there's like still like a little, you know, river of tzir even in a kli menukav. But it doesn't matter. If it's in a kli menukav, that doesn't count as anything.
So that's a chomer bi'alma. It's a chomer bi'alma that the Ramah doesn't here mean real pool of tzir. Then it would be usur even in less than 24 hours. The Ramah here means like if there's a somewhat of a pool of tzir in a kli menukav, which is really a concept that shouldn't exist at all. A kli menukav doesn't have a pool of tzir. But I guess what he means is if there's like a semblance of a pool of tzir in a kli menukav, then is this chomer bi'alma to call that pool of tzir, and then it makes this whole sip, you know, a little peculiar, but no one really has much of a better shot.
It's just kind of wet.
Yeah, I guess you'd say a wet kli menukav, oh, that shouldn't count as a pool of tzir. That should just count as regular salting. Okay, it's a chomer bi'alma. Okay. So let's pick up back where we... Where we left off then, which was, on the Cholzeh. Now we just get, the Ramah's just going to add us, tell us a few more details now, which should be fairly straightforward. The Cholzeh is on, that's where we left off, then my edition, Kukhav Vav, the fifth to last line, or like a few words after the Mem Gimel of the Shach. The Cholzeh l'may v'el b'tzir shukroteach, k'mavur l'el b'simen samavtes. All the halachas we just said, remember all these five shatim we had as to why it's okay, either it's Mishra Sharik, or it's, since it's a polate, it's serially polated what it absorbs, or as long as the Nikkei plates are openly polate what it absorbs, or since it's polate, it's serially, it will never absorb dam, or Kabbalah Kach Polto, that only applies to sear, to salty brine of dam that comes out through salting. But what if you have meat that's been salting for 5 minutes? Right?
that meat is kurotech, lef kurotech, and dam be'en falls in on it. Someone has a cup of blood, some vampire has blood in his fridge, and he accidentally spills some blood on your meat while it's salting. Then you would think, what's the problem? It's kabbalah kachpolto, and it's l'miflut lobola, and mishrik sharik. Don't I have all the coolers in the world? The answer is no. For actual dam be'en, you have none of these five coolers. There's not even anything to talk about. For actual dam be'en, forget it. There's no mishrik sharik. There's no kabbalah kachpolto. There's not even a limited kabbalah kachpolto of id the pullet, sir today pullet dam the chavre, or id the. There's no ID to toward lifot lobali. There's no any coolest for damba and an actual cup of blood. If that falls on your meat, if that falls on cold meat, so you're okay because it's cold. But if it falls on hot or salt, in this case salty meat, which is like hot meat, then you're dead. There's just no way to there's no way to save that meat. None of these coolers apply to actual dam. They only apply to the dam that's coming out in this salty brine during the malicha process, which is what we've been discussing until now. But if someone takes a cup of blood straight from the neck of the animal and pours it on your meat, then you're in trouble. What? Then it will depend on the machlokes. So according to the machaber, it would only ask kedei klipa. But according to the Ramah, so if it's dam be'en, but it's a doraisa shel shayko shamnunis, because dam be'en is daraisa, because the dam maybe hasn't salted, only the meat has. So then, I'm not sure. It's efter, maybe we would say it after the whole thing.
You can't resalt this?
No. That's it. You don't say pshat four, that while it's hard lift load, it's not balea. The lo kabbalah kachpolto, and you don't say pshat from 2, 3, and 5. You don't say either always kabbalah kachpolto, or even sometimes. You don't say under any circumstances it'll be poli what it was balea. And you obviously don't say Mr. Charmik either. But that's less mainstream, so we didn't mention it.
Why is this? And also, how do we know that the Mechaber would be Moda here, that it's Aser at all?
Ah, so we can't prove that the Mechaber would be Moda here. That's a very, very good point, actually. We can't prove the Mechaber would be Moda here, but all else being equal, and as a matter of fact, we'll see in 2C Monday. Maybe it's not so pasha, but all is being equal, let's assume that. I think he would. Okay. But I'm not sure. But in any case, Farsha Ashkenaz doesn't make a difference. The Hadas read, and then he continues. Yeah?
You said it was the klipa or all of it?
All of it. I think we would say all of it, probably.
Because
of
the fat in the meat?
No. Because it was the fat in the
meat we brought through.
Taka. Yeah, so the horror will be over. Okay, for a few reasons. Hadas reading also continuing. And here he reminds us of something we said earlier. Whenever we answer something that fell into a pool of dam, a pool of tzir, that's only what's under the line of the tzir, right? If here's your pool of tzir, and here's your piece that falls in, only the bottom part under that line gets asr. Avol mashalamalam and a tzir shari, what's above is mutter. If you recall, only if you're in the middle of salting meat, what's above is asr, because the blood appears from makom l'makom and gets stuck. But if you have meat that's not being salted right now and it falls into tzir, then only what's on the bottom is osir. What's on the top is not considered to be connected to the tzir. Miyom asher b'tokat tzir nesar miyad, the ain shield dover. However, what's on the bottom here, this part, if regular meat, you go to the butcher, you buy meat, and then it falls into tzir while your wife's salting some other meat, then that bottom is nesar miyad, and there's no shield dover. Why is it nesar miyad and there's no shield dover? Is it Neser Miyad because of Meliach Koroteach or Kavash Kamavushal?
Why is it Neser Miyad? Well, logically, you can't say Kavash Kamavushal Miyad. It must be Meliach Koroteach.
Meliach Koroteach, why is it Neser Miyad? Why not only Kedei Klipa? Because we are Ashkenazim, and we're not Baki, what's Shomin, and what's Kachash. So therefore, in all Malicha, we assume all Malicha answers the whole thing. So, as soon as a regular piece of meat falls into tzir, it'll be nesar miyad bekulo, or at least up till this line, because maliach roteach happens right away. You don't need time for maliach roteach, and we Ashkenazim assume that maliach will answer more than kedei klipa.
So kulo, when it says answer kulo, it means the only kulo that's actually under the line.
Correct. Basar tofel, the basar, sorry, shenafel tof tzir shalakarka,
Dino ki ilu haisa tzir b'kli. Here there's a machlok Rishonim. He says, if there's a pool of tzir on the ground and meat falls into it, we don't assume that the ground has holes, or ki ilu the ground has holes. We assume it's as if the ground does not have holes, so it's as if you fall into a real pool of tzir, and it becomes tree. Vosra shenaga b'chaticha shenim lucha b'klisha in a menuka v'nesra. Dino ki ilu naga b'tzir. If you have a piece of meat that was salted in an unholy kli, in a klisha in a menuka, and that absorbed its own dam through kavash and became trace. Anything that touches that is as if it touched dam, because that whole piece of meat is suffused with dam. Suffik tzir suffik mayim mutter. If you're not sure, now you have to figure out exactly what the metzias is. What's the suffik tzir suffik mayim? Because before you can look at something and tell if it's tzir or mayim. I mean, they look awfully different, right? The bloody brine that comes out of salting looks very different from clear, pure water. But certainly the case is suffik tzir suffik mayim mutter, the tzir drabon mistake aloha. So if you're not sure if something is tzir or not, meaning you're not sure if it is dam or not, so if you're not sure if something is actual blood or not, then if you have to be machmir, something. But since tzir is always dam shemilcho, and it's always drabonon, right, because dam shemishlo and dam shemilcho are only drabonon, so suffik aloha. The last halacha says, and this is something reminiscent of what we learned earlier. If you have a mixture of tzir and water, remember we learned, right? For the hadacha achrona, even if you just put it into a kli with a little water, that is good enough, b'di'eved, because tzir mixed with water, even with a little water, loses its potency and is not considered roteach and will not cause any type of klios. The Shachir says maybe you need at least more water than tzir. But the Rabbi Kveger says that you have to use a subjective judgment perhaps, but even a little, it doesn't mean one drop of water, obviously. It means even enough. You don't need 60 times much water. You only need enough water to make it lose its potency. That's good enough. Exactly what it is, Shach says, you just need grove water, and that's what it calls a little water. And the Rikki Baker says, no, it means even if it's only a meter of water. But if in your subjective judgment, that's enough to make it lose its potency, that will do the trick.
Okay, yeah. The case of Basta Shinagala Kitchen and Chalutina and Manuka, we say it's lack tzir. Is that lack saying it's the same as a unsalted piece of meat? Or is that different? We said that it's lack tzir.
No, so what it basically means, if a meat is salted in a kli she'en a manuka, it's as if it's a big piece of dam. Therefore, any meat that touches that is as if it touched dam,
right,
or touched seer, and the same halachas would apply as and the same halachas would apply.
Right, so seer basically here is an unsalted piece of meat, basically.
No. Oh, what?
Seer is like dam.
I see. Right, except for the fact that, 1 second. Is that what he's saying? Dina, Hilunaga, that seer. The Nasra. Right. I think the only difference is that what he's saying here is that he's saying basically yes, but I think he's assuming the metzias is you took this piece of meat, let's say out of the kli she'en menuka, it's still salty. So unlike if a piece of meat just touches unsalted meat, it won't be bolei because it's cold. Since this is salty, it'll be bolei some dam, but it won't necessarily become asur permanently. It'll just have the regular dinim if it touched
salting meat.
So the point is, so what he's trying to say is this: that let's say I have my meat that was salted 18 minutes in kli menukav. If the meat was salted for 18 minutes in kli menukav, and then another piece of meat touches it, that meat will
No, that's what he's saying. He is saying lakula here.
What lakula? Even if it's been salted in klisha eino manuka, what might you have a havmin? You might have a havmin that this piece is so chomer that anything that touches it is usher forever.
Mashwan, no, it's no more chomer than
a piece that's been salting for 10 minutes in a clean manukah.
Right, just like the blood is coming out, and what's the din? The din is that as long as your piece of meat hasn't been salted yet, it'll be ivy to pull it itself, it'll be pulled down and absorbed from here. Here also, the Ramah is telling you, on the one hand, it'll absorb down, but on the other hand, even though this piece of meat is a big theft of trace, the down that this piece absorbs will come out when you salt it. Okay. Any other question about Siman Ayin? Siman Ayin Aleph and Ayin Beis, then, we're going to run through a little more B'Kitzer. Even though, you know, Halakha Maisa, we'll remember what it says, but there's not so much Lamdas. Between the two Simonim, there's one small Lamdas. Ayin Aleph, the Malif is a Rosh, that's Alfayim V'Amoach. How are you going to lay off certain parts of the body? There are certain parts of the body of an animal that there's a chash that maybe that part of the body itself is like a klisha eino manukah, because it has a hard bone or membrane, right? You can imagine, if within the animal's body, maybe there's something that traps the dam inside a certain area, then that'll be like salting in a bucket, and all the dam will pool up, and it won't be able to flow properly. So those areas are the head, or the brain is part of the head, and the hooves. So let's see, harosh. We'll see there are going to be three sets of halachas about how to salt a head. So first, the mechaber is going to the Rashba. Harosh, the Mechaber is telling us how ideally you should salt the head of an animal. Harosh, chotkalu, because what's the problem? The problem is, you can imagine the head of an animal, right? The brain is, number one, inside a very, very serious membrane, which is inside the skull. So that will trap all the blood inside, and it won't be able to get out properly, and it'll become awesome when you salt it. So lechachila, what's the best way to salt? Ahead, according to the Mechaber, Harosh Kotko L'Shnayim U'Molcho Yafel Atzad Pnim V'Chozim Aleich HaMaseir She'en Oseir Ma'akivit Alidei HaMelech L'Hafla Dam. So first he tells the best thing is cut the head in half. Cut the head in half, then you have no problem. And you salt. Right, if here is half the head, you salt the inside soft part, and then you salt the outside of the skull, even though there's hair. You might think the hair interferes with the Malicha. No, the hair, just like bones and all other parts of the animal, don't interfere with the malicha. The hair doesn't interfere with the malicha, no problem. The salt will get out very well. So the chumra is you should preferably cut the head in half first, so nothing will be trapped inside the skull and the membrane around the brain. But you don't just take off the hair before salting. The salt can get through the hair. We'll get back to this in Gimel, but first let's do Beis. Hatalfayim, the hooves. So what's the problem? The hooves might also, if I understand properly the way the hooves work, they're also like a little like indentation in there. Maybe the hooves are very hard, meaning not just like bones, right? The hooves are super hard because, you know, the animal runs on them. So maybe they'll cause blood to pool up in the hooves. So to find the chatek with some atlamata, you should cut the hooves a little on the bottom, right? If you're salting the leg of an animal, here's the leg, and here's the hoof. You should make a little cut on the bottom, right, so that all the blood will be able to drain properly. And you should salt it. Of course, you should put it so that this cut is facing downwards. Otherwise, it doesn't help you that much. And that's also it's fine. Even if the salt is on the over the hair, that's no problem. So again, the kula we have both these ifim is the seyar is not ma'akim molicha. The chumra is in the hooves and the head. You don't want it to be like a bucket. Therefore, you cut the head in half and you make a cut in the hooves. Gimel. Now we're going back to the issue of the head. Hakrum shala moach yishbo chutin.
What?
Are Yeah, but that's part of the natural hardness of the thing. You got to make an artificial cut.
Break where it already is cut in half?
Yeah, you got to somehow make an artificial cut someplace. Maybe it does that, as long as that's facing downwards, it doesn't even matter on which side. You got to make an artificial cut someplace, so that way it'll get to the inside where air is not able to penetrate, and it'll be a little softer, and the blood will come out. All right, why do you have to salt the hooves anyway? I guess, didn't they use it to make like fachar or something? Yeah, okay, so you have to salt it. The gimel hakrum shalamoki ish bochutim. The membrane around the brain is very problematic because it has big blood vessels in it. The hamoach atzmo yish bo dam, and the brain itself has blood in it. The einu yotzin de dam of lichda rosh. You will not machshir the brain. Now, why are you salting the head? Not to eat the skull. No one's going to eat the skull. To eat the brains, because the brains are actually a very delicious part of the animal, from what I've been told. The Eino Yotim de Dama Mlichas Arosh Lufisha Etzim Arosh Makifo Viome Lefana De In Mokom Ladam Lazub. Because of the skull, right, unlike most bones in the animal's body, we never say you have to take out all bones before you salt it, because the bones will block the dam. No, because the bones usually are just like straight bones. They don't like encircle something. So the dam will go through, around, whatever. But the skull is a particularly problematic bone, because besides the fact that it's a very, very hard bone, it's round, and it'll trap blood inside it. So therefore, if you just salt, take the top of the head and salt it, you will asher the brain, you won't mafshir the brain. Therefore, l'fikach ha-balamocho koro umotzi hamoach, you should tear it open and take the brain out, b'koreach krum umocho, and then you should tear the membrane, and you should salt the brain. What if you want? No, you say I want to leave the brain inside and salt it. Can I? The answer is yes, you can. Yinkov etzem keneged akrum v'yinkov gav hagam hakrum v'yimlach v'yinicha neked lamata umotra filu kadeira. You should just, if you want to salt the head as it is, just bore a hole in the skull and also make a hole in the membrane in the same exact place, like straight through. And then all the blood from the brain will drip out that hole, no problem. And of course, you have to put that hole facing downwards, or else it's not going to help you. So what we have here is, and then the Ramah says, "V'ayin le'elsim samaches ketsa nogin lechatchila." See how we're nohig lechatchila. We're nohig lechatchila, like the beginning of this sif, the shach moisav is from kanvav. Shambas of dal bagunas bar lechatchila nogin li tolamoch kodem hamlichu mitochal gugoles. We remove the brain entirely from the skull. And we make a cross cut in the skull, which will, not for the skull, but that will make sure that the membrane is properly torn so that all the blood vessels of the membrane can get kashrut properly. The blood vessels have to be torn open generally, so the membrane is torn, and that allows the blood vessels to drain. So lemaisa, what we see here is there are three levels of halacha in terms of how to kasher the head. The bare bones, basic ikradin, is if you want, you can leave it all and just make a hole through the head and through the skull and the membrane, and you'll be yotze. Lechatchila, ideally, mitzvah min amuvchar, according to Sfardim, you should chop it in half. And the mitzvah min amuvchar, lechatchila, according to Ashkenazim, is you should remove the brain entirely and then cut a crisscross into the skull to really cut a crisscross in the membrane that's still going to be on the skull to make sure that the membrane itself gets kashered as well. The Ramah continues. What if, yeah? Yeah. So the Ashkenazi make a crisscross on the brain? On the skull? Is that apparently the membrane is still in the skull. Either that, or you just don't want it, or you just don't want it to trafe up anything else. So therefore, you make a crisscross in it to make sure that it drains properly. Yeah, that's very soft, no?
You don't need to touch the brain's full of blood, right?
No, but so is meat. But that's Beseder. It doesn't have big blood vessels.
But why did you crisscross the skull then if you're just going to salt the whole brain anyway?
Because the membrane is still on the skull, and the membrane has veins in it, and therefore you want to make sure those veins can drain properly.
Why can't the membrane be with the brain, and then crisscross the membrane there?
I really have no idea, but he makes it sound like, unless unless, you know, read the Shas Mekutan Vav, unless it's not in chronological order, then I'm not such a bucky, and perhaps I should be more of a bucky in exactly what happens when you take brains out of heads. It seems when...
You ever did it as a kid?
No, I mean, I've... What? No, I apologize. I met people who seemed like it was done already to them, but I never really checked it out. Okay, Viter. The Mimlach HaRosh Shalom B'li Nekiva Sa'etzem, what if you do it all wrong? You salt the head in one piece without even a hole in it, without anything? Then even b'dieved it's treif, because the blood's going to pool up. Then, HaKorm V'moach HaSurim, the membrane around the brain and the brain itself are treif, Shara Rosh Mutter, but the rest of the head is going to be Mutter, Kol Shekein Shar Bas Shimo, and for sure, all the other meat that is with it will definitely be Mutter. So if you did it wrong and you didn't do anything to rescue the head, you just had like basically a big pool of blood inside that skull, the brain and the membrane around it will be treif, but... You know, if the whole chash is that the blood will pool up there, then we're not choshish that it'll go and treif up other things. So the whole chash is that it won't go anyplace else. So it's not going to aser the other parts that the other parts, even of the head, the face or these other parts. It's not going to aser. It's not going to aser the other meat that's with it. It'll just aser in and of itself, because you can imagine if I take a little, put some meat in a cliche in a monocle and put it with everything else, then it'll become usur, davka, and not usur anything else, because it'll keep all its blood to itself. Ahakulis ushar atzomo sheish vahem moach. The kulis is the, what's the word for the big bone of the leg? Whatever it is, okay. And all the other, that has a lot of moach in it. What's moach?
Marrow.
Yeah. And all the other marrow bones, tricha malicha. All the marrow bones, you're going to eat the marrow. The marrow also needs malicha. But if you salt the bones, that's good enough, and it'll penetrate through. I mean, you don't have to break open the bones. Like the skull, salting the bones will penetrate through and even salt the marrow that's inside. And certainly, you don't have to make a hole in the bones. Salt the bones, the marrow is good. The Shach points out, hold on a second. By the skull, we said that the brain's going to get messed up if it's inside the skull. So why won't the marrow also get messed up if it's inside a bone? So the the marrow is mamish inside a bone. So why don't we say it's like a cliche in a minokum, and it's just as bad as the hooves and just as bad as the skull? So the shach gives two answers: either lo dami l'moch shabros dashim shiraiki. This is yud dama shabakrua moach hukadam konis besocho. Well, dama shabver maat of mat melicha no not. Sorry, he gives one answer. He says this is different from the brain. We're more macher by the brain because there are big blood vessels in the krum hamoach, in the membrane, that have a lot of dam inside them, and that won't be able to come out if it's inside the skull. But in the marrow, there's only a little blood in the marrow, right? The marrow doesn't actually have blood vessels in it. You're not going to look and see these arteries and veins passing through the marrow. That's just a little dam, and therefore that little dam you can get out even through a bone. But the brain, which at least in the membrane, there are big blood vessels that won't come out if it's inside the skull. The Rama ends. Mihu lechachilu yom lechenu shar basar rak levad ubidi eved shari. However, lechachilu, you shouldn't salt bones with other meat. But b'di'eved, it's okay. I mean, l'chadchila, if you have just marrow bones, a pile of marrow bones, you shouldn't salt them with meat. Because, well, the grass is just a chashash b'yamal. There's no real logical reason. But you shouldn't salt the bones with other meat, because I guess the bones are not really polate so well, and the dam will come out of the meat and maybe get into the bones and ask for them, and it won't be able to come out. So l'chadchila, you don't salt a pile of bones with meat. However, that's just as the Gros says in Tezvah Chashash B'Yalma, B'Yevet, it's fine. And the Shach points out that this just means you can't salt l'chachila a pile of bones together with a pile of meat. But if the bone's inside the meat, then you can salt it together. So you can salt meat with the bones in it. He just means if you have a pure bone, then you shouldn't put that with all your meat salting. You should put it in a separate pile by itself.
And even that's only mechatzmita. Okay. Siman ayin beis. The there's a mishnah about this in Chulin that the lathe, obviously we can imagine the lathe is a problem. The mechaber begins. Halev miskavit hadam besocha b'shach shchita. The dam collects in the lathe at the time of shchita. And we understand the heart that's full of dam. And at the time of shchita, there's some, whatever it is, if the heart stops pumping, it gets collects a lot of dam in it. Lefikach, what's wrong with the lathe? There's dam be'en in the lathe. Therefore, tzarech lekaro kodem alich lohotzi dam lemolchor charkach. And we'll skip the Ramah for now. V'acharkach v'vashlin. Since the lathe has dam be'en, therefore, the lathe, obviously the lathe also has dam absorbed into the fabric of the lathe. But besides that, it has dam be'en inside. The lathe is a container full of dam. So what do you have to do? You tear the lathe open and pour the blood out, and then you salt it, and then you cook it normally. All you have to do is get rid of that dam be'en, and then you're beseder. That's the shita of the mechaber. I mean, not just the mechaber. That's a mishnah.
The liver, just you can't do that.
The liver, you can't do that. The liver is, because the
it's not hollow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the lathe, apparently, you know, it's just like, you just tear it open, you squeeze out whatever blood is in there, and then what's left is just meat. And you can salt it and cook it normally like anything else. However, the Ramah has a chumra. What does the Ramah say? The Ramah says, now let's read it with the Ramah. Halim is kabbat zidam besocha b'shash shchito l'fikot zorach l'kor kodom l'icho l'holtzi dam l'mocha v'chay kach v'yoz motzor filo v'ashlo. Medina! All you have to do is tear it open, pour out the dam be'en, and then you can salt it and cook it like every other piece of meat. V'yesh machmir in l'vashlo rak tzol noso v'yachar kach m'vashlo. However, there's some more machmir that you should never salt meat. Salt the heart and eat it. You should never salt the heart and then cook it. You should only broil it and then you can cook it if you want. Meaning some people are machmir that you can't be matur the lathe through tzli, through malicha, only through tzli.
You have to do kriya.
What? You will see that you have to do kriya Yeah, we say you have to do kriya for tzli as well. But now, why is this chumra? Why are some people machmir that you can never use malicha for a lathe, only tzli? So that's not medina. The Taz explains because the gzeira, maybe you'll forget to tear it open. It's like Zera, maybe you'll forget. So therefore, for Malicha, Rechoshesh, you'll forget the Kriya. But if we're machmir, we say you have to do tzli, then you'll remember to do the kriya, and it'll be the same. That's just, now this is a funny gzeira. Again, it's against the Gemara, etc. So Taz quotes the Marshal that we're mako, we don't really keep this gzeira because it has no makor in Shas, that doesn't even have a makor in the Gaonim. Not everyone agrees. The Gra just says like it's gzeira chadasha. He doesn't say we don't hold from it, but I didn't check what the minhag is nowadays. But the Marshal, the Taz, and the Marshal say we don't keep this minhag. We just go back to the Mechaber. The Ramah obviously thinks we do keep this minhag, and you can't salt the heart. You can only broil it. Right, the idea is the same. The chashash is not quite as bad. I mean, we're not worried about Nisra Raisa here, at least if we know Dam Sheh Tishlo is Midra Bunnan, so maybe that's the only reason why we wouldn't be as Machmer.
We're not worried about Nisra Raisa either.
Oh, you're right. Good point. Yeah, and there were very, very machmir. So it, right, the only, and they're even more machmir than the Gemara as well. Okay, so it could be your Amal Lishitase. Sli with Kriya. The idea would be that, 1 second, the Teshuvah Mivashal below Kriya, Lechora. He doesn't totally, doesn't. If, it seems that Pashtus, that's what the Prima Gundam explains. He says, the Kuli Haishi Ishkach, the Korach, or Tzli, Aloch Haishinon. We're not worried that you'll forget to tear it after Tzli, but we are worried that you'll forget to tear it to do Kriya after after Malicha. So, we'll see that in a second. You could say Tzli Shitase, but that's not what the Prima Gundam says here. Prima Gundam seems to say that, the Prima Gundam seems to say that, that we're not worried you'll forget after after Tzli. We are worried that you'll forget after after Malicha. Funny one. Yeah, I'm not sure. You could do that for Malika also, at least according to you could at least according to Machaber, unless you want to say it's Shitase. Okay, let's go on one more. We'll see if we can figure out a better shot. The Malcha v'lo kro. What if? So number one, would we have the din you have to tear it before Malicha? What if you did Malicha and you forgot to do the Kriya? Then Korach because of Mutzer, no problem, you can do the Kriya after the Malicha. Avlisha Nimelcha Nimelsofa, even though it was salted with Dam, no problem, the Kabolo Kachpolto. No problem, whatever dam it might have absorbed will come right out through the malicha. So really, it's no. Even if you do malicha with the dam, it's no problem. Whatever dam went in will come right out. There just still might be a little dam left in the middle, so you do kriya afterwards to get rid of that dam. The same thing with tzli or malicha, same thing. You should do kriya before tzli or malicha. But if you didn't do kriya beforehand, then it's no problem. Whatever dam went into the heart will come out of the heart, and whatever dam's still inside, you'll just tear it and pour it out afterwards. Avalim bishlo below kriya asar sheishishim kineged alev lo yodin and kamenav kmini. But if you cooked it without pouring the dam be'en out of the heart, then it's taka problem. Then you've cooked it with dam be'en. Then you need shishim and the tavshel kineged the whole side of the heart. Why? Because, meaning, you salted it and then cooked it, right? Without opening up the heart. So there's still dam be'en inside the heart, and we don't know how much. If you shower kineged the whole lathe, and you need 60 times the lathe to matter your meat. Now, this is a little funny. What's a little funny about using Kabolo Kachpolto here, by the way? Let's ring. What do we say? We said, if you... Let's just copy for a second. The right way to do it, the lechachila, is kriya and malicha and bishul, right? Although the Rama, all the later Achonim seem to say you don't hope in this tera,
Although then the whole debate, look in the Shach Ber Heite, whether you should ever eat hearts, because they might be bad for Shikha. But
this is the right way to do it, Lechatika, right? Or the Rama says some people are going to sleep. What if you did Malicha, then you forgot? Just do Wurtzli, Kriya, and Bishol, and that's fine. You can always tear it apart the dam afterwards. Oh, why didn't the dam get absorbed? Now whatever got absorbed came back out. The problem is going to be if you did Malicha and then Bishol, then it's too late to do Kriya. Now it was mamish cooked with dam be'en, you're stuck. What's the problem with this? Is it really true that if you did Malicha first, the dam be'en will go into the heart and can't come back out? Didn't we say in the last simon, indeed towards the end, that dam be'en, you don't have this cool of Kabbalah kafoldo? Then in dam be'en, if dam be'en falls on your meat, it'll go in and never come out. So if there's dam be'en in the heart, why won't it fall into the heart and never come out? So, so what's the nature of this kula? Now, this kula was not invented. This kula is in the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you've got to tear it, you can tear it later. Although, have to see what the case is. The Shach writes, one of two is there. Either, because there's could be a hab in the Gemara, but let's assume it's a maskana. The lave is Shia. Maybe because the lave is so smooth, it doesn't absorb much, and that's why it won't be a problem. Or, because this isn't really dam be'en. It's dam, it's like dam be'en, but it's still dam stuck in the heart that got dried into the heart, so it doesn't have all the properties of dam be'en. You know, it's not like a bottle of dam from the fridge. So anyway, in any case, this case will be okay, even though usually if you salt something with dam be'en, it's irrevocably treif. But in this case, either because the heart is very smooth and non-absorbent, or because this isn't real dam be'en, two answers in the shach, we'll say, whatever dam came into from Malicha or Tzli will come back out, and the only problem is if there's any dam still in the middle, and for that you just do kriya before you cook it.
Probably don't say you need tifa bekotel, but like,
I guess it's just not as ingrained as in the kal. Maybe especially because of the Shia. Right, there's no gumos in the leaf. Yeah. Okay, the Ramah continues. Now the Ramah is just telling us lav davke hochus malicha type of halachos. He's telling about afilu b'deika shishim halev atzmo usur. Even, let's say, you salt it and cook it without ever opening the leaf. Then you need shishim keneged the leaf. And even if there is shisha, the lave is still going to be treif. Why? Because the dam inside it is an Ashkenazic lavshon. It's dabak, right? The dam is dried and stuck inside it. The dam inside is going to get stuck up, dried up, and a little stuck. So the dam is dabak to the lave. So the lave will be chanan. So either way, even if you have shisha connected, the lave will still be asher because the lave is chanan. The yiklof ma'at sabdiv halave, and you also have to take off the klipa around the lave. But for reasons that we'll see in a moment. The Yesh Machmirim. Here's the Yesh Machmirim. This is actually a chlokas theme like the Rambam, Rashi versus Tosos and other Rishonim. Sha'afilu b'mlicha lesser sharbasar shenim loch imo v'amri omrim delo amri non kibolo kafpolto gavidam halev hakonas besocho gavidam mamish v'lo mikri dam pleita.
We just saw the first day, what did the first day of the Machaber say?
That the dam inside the lave is not like dam be'en. It's just like dam pleita, it's just like dam that comes out through salting, it's not like be'en. So you'll say kabolo kapolta, it'll go straight through. But the Ramah says, no, we're machmir, like Tosfos against Rashi and the Rambam. We're machmir that the dam in the lave is considered mamish dam be'en. If it's mamish dam be'en, then let's just...
Or what happens in this case. You have Malicha. You have Malicha without Kriya. So, by the way, if you have, just point one thing out, if you have Tzli without Kriya, then everyone agrees that you just do Kriya and you get out whatever Damet is left and you're okay. Tzli is only focus. But if you do Malicha without Kriya, then, and again, the Pimgum doesn't say so, but you could say this, the Makar Dharma above. Then the Machaber says, it's like Dam Plinta, and Kibolo Kafpolto,
right? And all the other, whatever was salted with this heart, even though this dam might have gone into different things, it's like dam pleita and kavolo kapolto, and whatever comes in, well, either it's like dam pleita because it's not like real dam ben, or because not so much gets through the heart, because the heart is very smooth, and whatever dam went into the meat will come back out of the meat. The only problem is the dam that's left behind. So, poro umutter. You can do kriya and it's mutter. But the Rama says no. It's like dam be'en. It's as if you salt it with dam be'en. We all know if you salt with dam be'en, you don't say ayin tor lef lo bali. You don't say kibolok ha-foto in any way, shape, or form, 2, 3, or 5. And so this is the yeshon in the Rama. And therefore, if it's like dam be'en, it's treif. If you do melicha without tearing open the heart, it's treif. So what is the halacha? V'aminog l'hakel. Even the Rama admits, though, that we're mekel. L'maisa, we're mekel. That you get a second chance. V'chein ikar. The gamze mekudam pleita. We're mekel, man. So really, the Rama agrees with the mechaber. So he says, some people are machmir, will trafe up the rest of the meat. Because this is like, considered like dam be'en that fell on the meat during licha, trafe it up. The machaber's made it, says, it won't trafe up, it's like dam pleita that when you salt many pieces of meat together, it just goes straight through. So you know what, we'll make a pshara. The pshara is that we will, that will matter all the meat, but we'll just ask her to they klipa around the heart. We'll matter all the meat. We'll say, just like the heart itself stays kosher, all the meat with it stays kosher. That means there's no chilek between the heart and the meat that's with it. But we'll be machmir just on the they klipa around the lave. Why? What's the pshara of the Rambah?
Actually, we should write the Rambah as pshara. Tov lachosh. Kidei klipa is aser. The rest of the basar is mutter. Why? Because really, melicha should only ask for gedei klipa anyway. So, therefore, it's enough to be machmer the chomer and take off a gedei klipa around the heart. But you don't have to ask for up all the meat. Interestingly, the shach points out the heart itself is actually mutter. Because if the heart is smooth, we're not worried that it'll be melicha too much. So we'll matter the heart, ask for gedei klipa around the heart, and matter the rest of the meat. That's the halacha l'maisa. The ein chalaki adzevein melech sugar or pasuach l'mal. It doesn't matter if the heart is closed or open on top. Because open on top doesn't really help you, because it's not going to drain out. But noagin lechachila lachtoch orlas halev lachtoch gidinship knim ve'inu lechomer zuhiros b'yalma. Lechachila. We're knowing to cut open the orlas halev and the blood vessels that are inside it. What's the orlas halev? Okay. And in Tanakh, orlas halev is usually something psychological. But here, he means it very, very literally. And that's just a chomer and zuhiros b'yalma. I don't know what people... nowadays. I don't think they eat lave of behemoth so much. Sometimes they eat lave of ophos.
Chicken hearts.
Right? What?
Chicken hearts.
Chicken hearts. Yes.
Yeah.
What? The lave of an oaf? I don't think so. I don't know why it is. Maybe it's just taste-wise. That's, you have to be eyeing and the shachs have cut in bays. There's a gemara that seems to say that it's kasha l'shicha, that it might be kasha l'shicha to eat a heart, so it would depend on your shita and olives. Okay. So halacha l'maisa, let's just chaza for a second. Again, the best way to do it is to tear it open, part of the blood first, and then to melicha or tzli. Although according to the Rambazman are just tzli, but they don't have any echron to say, we're not so much there. If you did the melicha, if you forgot to do kriya and did the melicha, then just, it's good to be machmer if they cleave around the lave and keep the rest. If you forgot to do kriya and you did melicha and bishul, then you need shishim keneged a lave. Now we're going to discuss sotaka. Is there shishim keneged a lave or isn't there?
So there's a Masorah in Gimel, Ein Oaf Shalo Yevoshishim Keneged Libo, Umotar Afilu Dovid Oaf. Every fowl, every chicken, every bird is 60 times as big as its heart. That's with Masorah, that the bird is 60 times as heart. Therefore, even if you cook a whole chicken, let's say you take a whole chicken. Let's forget, pretend it doesn't have a liver for now, for the sake of simplicity, right? You take a whole chicken, and you didn't cut open the heart and pour out the blood, and you salted it, and you cooked it, and all the bad things, you need 60 keneged aleiv. No problem, the chicken is 60 keneged aleiv. Even if you already cut off the head, like we always do, and you already cut off the bottom part of the feet, like we always do. He doesn't mean you cut off the whole piece. He just means you cut off the feet. So he says, kederach shenogim lasirin, like the derech, right? If you cut off the polkis, then maybe you won't have shishim. But if you just cut off the mamish feet, like there's the minog, then it'll still have shishim. The hainu adar kuvat achton until the bottom knee. V'lachein ima ufshalim akol mutter. Therefore, in any time you have a whole chicken, and even if you cooked it with all the blood in the heart, it's still going to be mutter, because the chicken itself is 60 times the heart. V'im ein shalim. Ah, but what if you only cook part of a chicken, and that has the heart, and it doesn't have shishim kenegdo? V'lekabot shishim neged alev adovik ba'ov. If you cook half of a chicken and it doesn't have 60 times its heart, yesh omrim, and this yesh omrim should be familiar to us Ashkenazim as halacha psuka, yesh omrim da chaticha nasas nevelo v'inashishim v'kdei reneged kala ov. Right? What's the problem? If you have half a chicken and a lave dovet to it, and it's only 30 times the lave, then that whole piece will be chanan. V'inashishim v'kdei reneged kala ov, and then you need, the pot has to be 60 times that whole piece of a chicken, like the normal rules of chanan. V'chei no, again, and of course that's how we're knowing. And since it's Chanan, let's say you have half an oaf, which is 30 times the lave, but taka, the whole kedera is so big it has 60 times as much as that whole piece of chicken, still that piece is going to be trade forever. That piece was Chanan because of the rule of Isser Davuk. Right. Of course, if the heart is not attached to the rest of the chicken, then the whole kedera counts to be 60 about to the heart because it's its own piece. However, even though we have a mesorah that every oaf is 60 times its heart, we have an opposite mesorah that every behema is not 60 times its heart. Why do we have that opposite? that opposite mesorah? So the Shach explains that really it's not a biological difference. It's just that in behemos, before you cook them, you always take off some of the organs and you take away the legs, and not to mention that you have to open it up and take out the chelem and take out the gedanush and all these parts. So in a behema, maybe theoretically, if you just took a whole animal, it would be 60 times its length, but you never end up cooking enough of the animal that it's 60 times it's 60 times the lathe, because the derech is both for just regular, you know, cooking taste reasons and for halachic reasons, take out the chelev and gid and everything else, that you end up eating an animal that's less than 60 times its lathe. And dalet hareya inatzricha chitoch, by lungs, even though the lungs also have blood vessels in them, right? Isn't that the chap of the lung doctor? You breathe in the oxygen and put the oxygen in the blood, right? That's the whole point of lungs. That's why we need them. So obviously there's lots of blood going through the lungs. But there's no din, you don't have to open the lungs. How luckily the lungs are no worse than anything else. But there's a minhag to tear open the lungs and cut the big arteries in the lungs. And that's a nice minhag, but it's not, it's not required for the Eved, but it's a nice minhag to cut open the lungs and the big arteries in the lungs as well. Do we eat lungs? I don't know, I guess we could if we wanted to. Okay. On Sunday, Mirtz Hashem will continue with Simanim, Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dalid, and Ayin Hey. We'll concentrate a little more on Ayin Gimel. So, Mahalach Lamaisa, I'm fairly certain that the Ayin Dalid and Ayin Hey are parts that we don't eat so much nowadays. But so we'll concentrate a little more on Gimel, and then I'm